The text of our message is found in the prophecy of Zechariah, chapter 10 and chapter 8. It's very easy to find Zechariah if you turn from Matthew, the New Testament, backwards. Two books, Malachi and then Zechariah. Zechariah, chapter 10, verse 6 to 10, is the answer to the sermon title, Israel Regains Her Nationality. Zechariah, chapter 10, 6 to 10. And I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph, and I will bring them again to praise them, for I have mercy upon them, and they shall be as though I had not cast them off, for I am the Lord their God, and will hear them. And they of Ephraim, that is of the northern kingdom, Judah is a southern kingdom, Joseph and Ephraim are the northern kingdom. But in the time when they will be one, they will become a nation in the new modern day. Ephraim shall be a mighty man, and their heart shall rejoice as for wine. Yea, their children shall see it and be glad, and their heart shall rejoice in the Lord. I will haste for them and gather them, for I have redeemed them, and they shall increase as they have increased. I will sow them among the people, and they shall remember me in far countries, and they shall live with their children and turn again. This refers to the Jews coming back to their land. I will bring them again also out of the land of Egypt and gather them out of Assyria, and I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon. This is the northern part of Israel, and place shall not be found for them. Praise of the Lord. Now we turn back to chapter 8. To answer to the second part of the sermon, Christian countries more converted. And inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us speedily go to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and pray before the Lord a prophecy that from Christian countries will many come to the Holy Land and seek God and pray. We have been talking about the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it began to wake us up from December 26th, the great tsunami, December 26th, 04. After that, we had all together 8 earthquakes. Did you realize that? During a period of 4.5 months up to the 15th of May. And the earthquake hit Sumatra especially. There was one that hit Nias Island, which is quite close to Aceh. Another one hit Padang in the south. The one that hit Nias was a very big one. And 1,300 odd people were counted to have been killed by that earthquake. But there were two that sent tremors to Singapore. One that sent 700 people running down to the ground, to the ground floor. And the second one was the very morning when we had our worship. And I still remember praying for them. And they were terrified. Well, what we are especially concerned about, earthquakes announcing Jesus coming, is very, very near. It's for Singapore. Nobody can guarantee that no earthquake will hit Singapore. And I'm not saying anything that is unlucky to us or anything like that. But simply to remind us. Apart from all these that are announced by the Lord in Matthew chapter 24 about His coming, it's a marvelous thing if you read the prophecies of the Old Testament. There are those, even they talk of things that happen in our time, that we should take note. And this one concerns Israel regaining her nationality, being predicted as one of the signs before Jesus' coming. And I want you to turn to Zechariah chapter 10 again. It's good to turn our Bibles and get a bit more acquainted. Zechariah chapter 10. I will strengthen the house, verse 6, of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph. This refers to the history. After Solomon, the kingdom was split into two, Judah, the southern kingdom, and then the northern kingdom is Joseph, or also Ephraim. And God will bring them all back, strengthen them, bring them out of Egypt, bring them out of Assyria, and they will all stay in their own land. That is where it's a prediction. Now I want to remind you that Israel became a nation on the 14th of May, 1948, soon after the Second World War. Now, what a pitiful number of people they had when they declared themselves a nation. When Singapore declared itself a nation, we are also very small. But Israel was much smaller, only 600,000 people. And they declared themselves to be a nation, which means in name they are a nation, but they still have to fight. They still have to struggle to make themselves strong and able to stand on their own legs. And Israel has to fight five wars to attain to that stability. The first war, naturally, was a war of independence, when she declared she as a nation. At once the Arab enemies attacked them. But the interesting thing is that because God was with them, they were able to repel all the attacks from all sides. This is one lesson we all must learn. If we are on God's side and He is on our side, we need not be afraid. We will surely succeed. Then came the second attack, was in 1956, the War of Suez. And Israel won it again against great odds. Then the third war came, the most famous war, the Six-Day War. That was in 1967. And the Jews were able, at the expense, at the cost of only 600 people, the lives of the young people, again to overcome the enemy, Egyptians, Jordanians, Syrians. But in the Fourth War, 1973, which is called the Yom Kippur War, War of the Day of Atonement, when they were off guard, then President Sadat of Egypt stole was of them, and Golda Meir, the Egyptian, the Israeli lady prime minister, was caught off guard. And about 3,000 of the Jews were killed. It was a terrible price. But again, they won with the help of God, with the help of President Nixon at that time. And they learned a terrible lesson. That finally was the last war from 82 to 85. 3 years. The Jews cross over to Lebanon. This is called the War of Lebanon. And as the days go by, up to quite recently, the population of the Jews, instead of being 600,000, have risen to 6 million. And the population of Jerusalem has risen also to a big number, to the size of 600,000 as when they declared themselves independent. So, Israel has become a nation today, and will be a nation, and will be getting stronger and stronger, becoming now a superpower. And the significant part is that from now on, until Jesus comes, Israel will be there. And when they come to the end of the end, there will be such a tremendous pressure on Israel. But God will send His Son, Jesus Christ, and He will come down from heaven on the Mount of Olives to rescue them. After which will become the beginning with the coming of Jesus Christ, with His coming, there will be the beginning of the millennium, 1,000 years of peaceful rule. The text here tells us Israel regains the nationality from now on until the coming of Jesus Christ. And Jesus will be reigning on the throne of His father David, will be the king. Our title says, Israel regains her nationality until the coming of Christ. One straight, there's no more yielding to the enemy. She will be independent and will be strong. The second part is Christian countries more converted. I want you to read this part that is very interesting. Chapter 8, just turn back. This is a prophecy about you and me, about all Christians that are involved. And inhabitants of one city shall go to another saying, let us go up speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will also go. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before him. Do we know we never know that we have fulfilled this saying of Scripture. In 1983, because of my connections in the Holy Land, were invited to go and visit, and I brought about 40 Singaporeans. And right up to this day, last year, 11 times, and all those who go are predicted already in the Bible. They will speak to one another, let us go. And I never realized that it was a prompting of the Lord. And when they go, what happens? By seeing the land itself, they will believe and be saved. From visiting Galilee, where Jesus walked and Peter also walked, but he failed and he cried out to the Lord to save him. All these events, as he visited, were recounted to us. Until finally, we come to Golgotha, the mountain, the hill where Christ was crucified. And then as you turn the mid from the Golgotha, there is a garden, and we come to the empty tomb. And all those who go there, it is impossible but that they will have to believe. And I'm very happy that of the 500 followers, 11 times we went there, there's not one who came to me and say, I don't believe. But the wonderful thing was that they pulled me the feelings in the heart. And one sister who was not saved, later on told me, Pastor, because I went there and I saw the empty tomb and believed. Now I know that I'm a Christian. The Lord has saved me. Oh, you know how happy I was. That's why I preached one Easter morning 2 years ago. And I quoted Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It seems that salvation is so easy. Not easy, because so few reject. Do you believe in the empty tomb? Do you believe that God has raised him from the dead and the tomb is empty? I still think of our going to the Holy Land. And everyone who has not been inside the tomb will surely go in and look. And they come out, they believe with all their heart. If you believe that Christ has died on the cross for your sins, was buried, but on the third day he rose again, never to die anymore, you will be saved. And you cannot help but that your life will be changed. So this is a very important point in being a Christian. You are worshipping here as a true life. What is a true life for? He is exert his uttermost to bring people to Christ. Let me tell you the story of two BP churches. One is the American BP, and one is Singapore BP. The American BP Church sent her missionary, Dr. Lambie, and he built a TB hospital at Baraka, 10 miles south of Bethlehem. At that time, the TB hospital had many patients, and he needed 80 employees, Arabs. At least half of them were converted by him. Administrators, nurses, cooks, carpenters in the hospital. For that reason, he built a church for them, the Baraka Bible Presbyterian Church. On our part, as I visited the Holy Land in 1987, our second visit, we were so touched by those who were worshipping the Lord at the Baraka Bible Presbyterian Church in Bethlehem that we gave them a sum of money, $36,000. And with that sum of money, they bought a piece of land in the Shepherd's Field. That's a very wonderful place. And they have today completed building another church, Shepherd's Field Bible Presbyterian Church. And this is how it went. God wants to see from generation to generation carrying on of believers. and the shepherd's field today. Without the people, the servant of the Lord will be useless to have another church. But the wonderful thing is that after Dr. Lambie died, there was a successor, a male nurse, Arab, George Awad, to carry on. And then God bless him that he has got four children, very zealous, all serving the Lord together. And the last son, number four, the youngest one, felt called to become a pastor. That is, to continue his father's line, which he never knew. As a result, he went, he applied to a college, but Singapore doesn't want to accept any Arab, and he found a place of studying in a Presbyterian Bible College in the Philippines. But the marvelous arrangement of God is that he fell in love with a Filipino classmate, and they were married. And the classmate came back with Danny Awad, the younger son of George Awad, back to the Holy Land. And they ministered to the second church that was built in Shepherd's Field. And then, as you know, the church in the Holy Land is very, very hard up and very poor because of the war and the fighting of Israel. So they wrote a letter to us because we had visited them, whether we would help them $200 a month for living expenses. And I brought it to the church to discuss this matter, and I'm very happy that we have granted them $200 US, and now they're able to carry on. So that at the last Christmas, it was reported to me, 200 people came to the service. Now we must never prejudge and say, all these people just come here Christmas. But if they come and they believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that He is the risen Savior, they will be saved. At any rate, what God wants us, any church, to live up to our worth is to save souls, to bring in anyhow, from any quarter, that they will come to Christ. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and will believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And you say that is too easy. It is not too easy. For there are so many in the world who reject him. But I am very happy to say, who knows, there is going to be a strong, independent Presbyterian Church in the Holy Land. And we have a part. We, from Singapore, the True Life Church, can help out a great deal, the Palestinian Church, and many of them will be saved. Do you believe in the empty tomb? I'm asking anyone here. You may not know very much about Christianity, but you know enough. If this morning you say, I believe in the empty tomb, that Christ has risen from the dead, you will be saved. We may be a small church, but we have now links with an international church, an Arab church, a Palestinian church in the Holy Land. But the Jews don't believe until that day that the Lord will speak to them. Let us pray. Our loving Father, how we are surprised that even our going to the Holy Land is being predicted in chapter 8 of Zechariah chapter verse 21 and verse 22. Those who are going the 12th time next year in March, I am very sure you bless them when they declare their faith. We pray thee to speak to the hearts of the whole church here that Jesus Christ coming is truly near. Whether we are safe or not, we must decide ourselves. And we pray thee that this may be the passion of members of this church and even as members go out and visit the HDB flats to witness to the people or otherwise. Bless us all, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.